We said everyone is going to have a secondary education, said Stanford University economist Paul Romer. As economic historians have demonstrated in a variety of research, both technology and trade are making the pie bigger, but they are also shifting the shares of that pie away from low-skilled labor to high-skilled labor. As American society produced more higher-skilled people by making high school mandatory, it empowered more people to get a bigger slice of the bigger, more complex economic pie. As that century progressed, we added, on top of the high school movement, the GI Bill and the modern university system. These were big ideas, noted Romer, and what is missing at the moment is a political imagination of how we do something just as big and just as important for the transition into the 21st century as we did for the 19th and 20th. The obvious challenge, Romer added, is to make tertiary education, if not compulsory, then government-subsidized for at least 2 years, whether it is at a state university, a community college, or a technical school. Educating more people at the tertiary level has two effects. One is that it produces more people with the skills to claim higher value-added work in the new niches. And two, it shrinks the pool of people able to do lower-skilled work, from road maintenance to home repair to Starbucks. By shrinking the pool of lower-skilled workers, we help to stabilize their wages, provided we control immigration, because there are fewer people available to do those jobs. America's ability from the mid-19th century on into the mid-20th century to train people, limit immigration, and make low-skilled work scarce enough to win decent wages was how we created a middle class without too disparate an income gap. Indeed, noted Romer, from the end of the 19th century to the middle of the 20th, we had a narrowing of the income gap. Now we have seen an increase of that gap over the last 20 or 30 years. That is telling us that you have to run faster in order to stay in the same place. With each advance in technology and increase in the complexity of services, you need an even higher level of skills to do the new jobs. Moving from being a farmhand to a phone operator who spoke proper English and could be polite was one thing. But moving from being a phone operator after the job got outsourced to India to being able to install or repair phone mail systems or write their software requires a whole new leap upward. While expanding research universities on the high end of the spectrum is important, so is expanding the availability of technical schools and community colleges. Everyone should have a chance to be educated beyond high school. Otherwise, upper-income kids will get those skills and their slice, and the lower-income kids will never get a chance. We have to increase the government subsidies that make it possible for more and more kids to attend community colleges and more low-skilled workers to get retrained. JFK wanted to put a man on the moon. My vision is to put every American man or woman on a campus. Good fat. Cushions worth keeping. As everyone who worries about his or her health knows, there is good fat and bad fat, but everybody needs some fat. That is also true of every country in the flat world. Social Security is good fat. We need to keep it. A welfare system that discourages people from working is bad fat. The sort of good fat that actually needs to be added for a flat world is wage insurance. This idea of wage insurance was first proposed in 1986 by Harvard's Robert Lawrence and Robert E. Lighton of the Brookings Institution in a book called Saving Free Trade. Trade creates winners and losers, and what we were thinking about were mechanisms by which the winners could compensate the losers, and particularly losers who were enjoying high wages in a particular job and suddenly found their new employment at much lower wages, said Lawrence. The way to think about this, he explained, is that every worker has general skills and specific skills for which they are paid, and when you switch jobs, you quickly discover which is which. So you might have a college and CPA degree, or you might have a high school degree and the ability to operate a lathe. Both skills were reflected in your wages. But suppose one day your lathe job gets moved to China, or your basic accounting work is outsourced to India, and you have to go out and find a new job. Your new employer will not likely compensate you much for your specific skills, because your knowledge as a machine tool operator or a general accountant is probably of less use to him or her. You will be paid largely for your general skills, your high school education or college degree. Wage insurance would compensate you for your old specific skills for a set period of time, while you take a new job and learn new specific skills. To qualify for wage insurance, workers seeking compensation for job loss would have to meet three criteria. First, they would have to have lost their job through some form of displacement: offshoring, outsourcing, downsizing, or factory closure. Second, they would have to have held the job for at least 2 years. And third, the wage insurance would not be paid until the workers found new jobs, which would provide a strong incentive to look for work quickly and increase the chances that they would get on-the-job retraining. Workers who met those three conditions would then receive payments for 2 years, covering half the drop in their income from their previous job, capped at $10,000 a year. Kletzer and Leighton also propose that the government pay half the health insurance premiums for all displaced workers for up to 6 months. The Kletzer-Leighton proposal makes a lot of sense to me as the right benefit for cushioning workers in a flat world. Moreover, such a program would be eminently affordable. Leighton estimated that at an unemployment rate of 5%, the wage insurance and healthcare subsidy today would cost around $8 billion a year, which is peanuts compared to the positive impact it could have on workers. This program would not replace classic state-run unemployment insurance for workers who opt for that, but if it worked as projected, it could actually reduce the cost of such programs by moving people back to work quicker. As the saying goes, if you want to live like a Republican, vote like a Democrat. Take good care of the losers and left behinds. The only way to be a flattist is to be a compassionate flattist.